shall leave this place.
Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Wow, we haven't sang that song in a while. It's one of my old-time favorites in the Baptist church. That's about as close as we got to being spiritual, you know. We'd have a just a over-the-top kind of a service, and everybody was feeling lovey-dovey and sing that song, and it just, the anointing would come and follow in our spirit, and we certainly always liked that song. Amen. I'm just so thankful tonight to know that we can receive that anointing a little deeper, down in the soul. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Just a couple of quick announcements here before we go into the Word. So first of all, we would like you to remember us in prayer. We're going to be ministering in Rosarito, Mexico, which is south, about 25 miles south of Tijuana, and which is near marijuana. No. Anyways, on that note, I need a lot more prayer, right? We used to go down there about 20 years ago, and there were doors that were open that closed, but now they're opening again, so certainly do covet your prayers. We will be there Friday and Saturday so that we can be back on Sunday, but Brother Eli's going to stay and finish it up there. Be the grand finale on Sunday, so keep him in prayer as well. And also, there's ministers and different ones that are going to be joining us from that were at the meetings in Mexicali, which is, you know, further east and but still south of the border. And we're trying to coordinate the next big opportunity that we have to have meetings, kind of like what we did here for our special meetings, but we're wanting to do it down there once again and in a neutral place and bring different fellowships together with no other motive, no kingdom building, no other motive but to just, you know, have revival and encourage the believers south of the border. So please keep that in prayer. We're excited about it because it's been a burden on our heart for many, many years, and now it looks like that those prayers are being answered. So thank the Lord for that. Also, I'd like to thank the church officers for the very nice cards and gifts that you gave to us, and cookies, and I'm just overwhelmed by the expression of your love and your kind words, and it just thank you. Appreciate that very much. God bless you. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning or this evening to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll read verses 14 and 15. Actually, you don't need to turn. It's up there on the. For those of you that are diehards that got to have paper, you can turn. But you know, there are some ministers that I've run into that feel like they're not being a true minister if they don't carry a Bible around. That's just. All that is what you're used to, right? If you were born in an age where there was no printed page, it was all electronic, you wouldn't feel that way. The printed page is not any more the Bible than what's up there on the screen, right? I mean, ultimately, it's what's in here that was written there, but we want it in here, right? Praise the name of the Lord. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word, or logos, of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Once again, that word, logos, saying, account, speech, a word uttered by a living voice, embodies a conception or idea, what is declared, a thought, declaration, the act of speaking, speech, the faculty of speech, skill, and practice in speaking. So, simply put, logos in the Greek is word. Chapter 4 and verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, torment one another with these words. Comfort one another. These are comforting words, especially to you and I tonight, because we're closer to it than anybody's ever been. And then we'd like to read from the message, the rapture, here for just a moment before we're seated. But to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. It's revealed to her that the revelation, the true bride of Christ, will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture. Now, it is a revelation, for the revelation is faith. You cannot have a revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. It's something that has been revealed to you like it was to Abraham, that could call anything contrary to what had been revealed to him as though it wasn't so. Now, faith, that's what faith is the revelation of God. The church is built upon revelation, the whole entire body. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, we thank you once again that we can come together in this midweek service. And Lord, we're not coming together out of some kind of a routine. We're not here just because that's what we do on Wednesdays. We're not here to check a box. We're not here to even to try to curry favor from you by showing up, Lord. But we're here because we want to be. And we're here because we expect to hear from you. We're here because we want to love you and worship you. But most of all, Lord, we want you to speak to us words of life. Father, we know that that your word is the greatest thing in our lives, and that without it, Lord, we're no different than anyone else. But with your word, Lord, we're an overcomer. So, Father, we pray that you'd meet every need that's in the body tonight. We know that there are some that are out sick tonight. We know that some are having difficulties, car troubles. Lord, we know that some there are other reasons why some couldn't be here tonight. We just ask that you'd be with them, work and so forth. Be with each and every one. Encourage them. Lord, those that are listening in, encourage them as well. And Father, when we leave, we'll say, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us along the way? Grant it tonight, Lord. We'll surely give you the praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We want to title this as a continuation of the service. The thought that we started bringing last Wednesday, the rapture is a revelation, and this would be part two. The rapture is a revelation. Now, just as a little bit of background from, because it's been a week, as we saw last Wednesday, the Word of God is comprised of logos and rhema word. And yes, it is actually pronounced rhema and not rhema. Unfortunately, in the English language, We tend to pronounce things a little differently than they do in the rest of the world, but so I'm going to try to pronounce it the way that it's supposed to be. And if I go back and forth, and you know, just like my chasm and chasm comments, don't let it drive you up the wall, okay? So the Word of God has a word in Greek for the English word. It's even hard to, I almost need to come up with different words so that I'm not confusing you. The English word for word is word. We have one word for it. In the Greek, there's two words that are used in the New Testament. One of them is logos and the other one is rhema, and they have different meanings. One is, and as we began to speak about that on Wednesday, as we were looking at the logos, both are absolutely essential in furnishing us with the fullness of God's knowledge and His will for our lives, both as individual believers and also corporately in our churches. The Logos word defines God in general concepts and general ideas and gives to us the big picture of who God is. The rhema word is a moment-to-moment, and I'm quoting from the Bible dictionaries and what have you. The rhema word is a moment-to-moment portion of the Logos word uttered by the voice of God's Spirit and tailor-made to equip us with God's commands, guidance, and fulfillment of our needs in accordance to our specific circumstances. The written word or Logos provides the general pattern, but the rhema is tailored to your specific need at the moment. So rhema is literally the living voice of God to you. The word logos comes from the Greek language, and it means word in general. A longer definition includes thoughts, principles of or speech. Anybody can read the Bible to learn about God, to learn about His principles, to learn about His values, and when they do that, they are reading the Logos Word of God. And of course, you know, we as we pointed out here last week, Logos could be any word. It's not just, we tend to take that term Logos from the Greek and you'll make it only the Word of God and it's only spiritual, but Logos could be an angel, it could be a human being, it could be God. It's just word of someone. So, It is the written word of God, but it's a letter until God reveals it to you. God has it set up that way on purpose. God has it set up in two parts. The rhema and the logos are not put together in the printed word, but the rhema requires the living God. The living God must come to the logos or you're not going to get the revelation of it. The true interpretation of it. Otherwise, anybody that can read the Bible could speak the word and see it in action. And we'd be in a lot of trouble. So rhema is also translated from the Greek word into English to mean word. And a rhema word is different from just the written words of the Bible. A Christian may have prayed about a particular issue, and then while reading his or her Bible, a particular verse will jump out at that person in a dramatic way and grab their attention. That person may feel that God is speaking to him personally through that verse at that time. And He is. God has a specific word just exactly what you need to help you progress successfully and victoriously through the course of life. So it comes to address a specific case right at the time that you receive it. Rhema is a now word. I'm still quoting from the commentaries, and I hope you don't mind. Rhema is a now word. It is the spoken word from God to you to effect a specific change in your life. In other words, it's word, it's living word, it's word with a purpose. One rhema word from God can change your life forever. It's that powerful. Rhema sets into motion the power of God as it comes to accomplish and prosper in the things for which it was sent. The word of God is separated from the power or from the dunamis in the Greek word. So the logos of God is separated from the dunamis of God, and it's separated on purpose. There's the word, which is a seed, and then there's the power. And the two must come together in order to produce life or to produce what's in the seed. So, but that doesn't mean that there's no benefits from just having the logos alone. Just having the logos will benefit people. It'll cause them to live a better life. But it takes an ability from God to be able to receive the rhema of God. Not everybody can receive the rhema of God. When you hear the word, when you read the word, sometimes the very same logos that you've read time in and time out, and you might have read it for many, many, many years, but all of a sudden it speaks to you. That is the rhema of God that you're hearing. It's the same logos of God that you've heard over and over and over, but now all of a sudden God is taking that word and he's speaking to you personally. Amen? So when Jesus came to the earth and was made flesh amongst us, now this may stumble you, but just stay with us here for a moment. He was the logos of God, but not the rhema of God at first. He was the logos of God as a baby born in the manger, and he performed no miracles until after he was quickened by the Holy Ghost. The logos died. The logos was your sacrifice. But the power did not die, and the power cannot die. It was separated from the logos. The Spirit of God departed from him in the garden. He lived 30 years without the Holy Ghost, and then he receives the Holy Ghost at the Jordan River one day, and then speaks logos and rhema from that day forward. And the Pharisees could not hear his rhema or words, even though they were hearing his logos words. They were hearing the very same words that others were hearing, but they were not hearing the rhema. And because of that, they didn't benefit from his words. Now, the power was released from his soul before Calvary so that the logos could be crucified. The word was crucified, but God didn't die. But the word did die. The bleeding word bled for you. So remember that the logos is not spiritual necessarily. Anyone can speak logos as that word is used in the Greek and in the New Testament. But rhema can only come from God, and rhema can only be received by members of the new creation. You have to have an ear to hear. Somebody say praise the Lord. So we can memorize logos, and that's good. And we can quote it frontwards, backwards, sideways, and still be bound. It has to be quickened in order to set us free. And when deity takes that logos and quickens it and places it on your lips, places it on human lips, it's deity speaking. It's quickened word. So we're going to read a few more scriptures that use the logos form of the word before moving on to look at what the rhema uses of that word are in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word or logos, but in power. So Paul is saying there that it's not just logos, that there's power also. He's referring to the rhema. He's referring to the Holy Spirit. He's referring to the dunamis that must come with the logos. If just quoting logos is all that it takes for the power to be released, then a computer ought to be able to release the power. Because we can mechanically reproduce the human voice. A parrot can speak human words. So if all that it takes is to take the exact words that were written in the Bible and repeat them, then everybody has access to it. But we know everybody doesn't. Then again in James chapter 1, verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word or logos of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. Of his creatures. So when you come into this world, the logos is in you, but it isn't quickened. You are the logos of God. Praise the name of the Lord. James chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted logos, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the logos, or what's written in the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the logos, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Now it's interesting that James is speaking of this like it's works that you must perform. And it's a great paradox, because in our infancy of coming to God and after we're born again, that's the way that we perceive it. Well, I'm supposed to be a doer also, so I'm hearing this and, okay, do this, don't do that, so I'm going to do this and I'm not going to do that. And that's good. That's all wonderful. That's fine. And it's a great place to start. But he's not talking to the elect, saying that you've got to mechanically be a doer. But really, if that word is in you, it will be more than logos. If that word is in you, it'll be rhema. And if that word is in you, you will do. You won't just be a hearer. If it's just logos, then you will mechanically need to produce some works. But if it is rhema, you don't produce anything. It will produce its own works. Somebody say praise the Lord. For if any be a hearer of the logos and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightforth forgetteth what manner of a man that he was. So a sinner can receive logos, and a sinner can repent, a sinner can be saved, a sinner can be convicted by the Holy Spirit, by the logos that he's received. A sinner can open the Word and read the logos, and the Spirit of God can move over that man, and that man can give his heart to the Lord. But rhema was not in that sinner. Amen. This is God speaking to the soul. So God speaks generally to all men. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will. Right? That's available to everybody. And you don't need rhema to receive that. Just accept it. Line up to it. Confess it. So logos is instruction many times to us. Logos does give to us do's and don'ts. But to the born-again believer, the rhema speaks and interprets the word to the believer. A logos Christian hears do's and hears don'ts. And then as they hear it, as the minister's ministering the word, as he's preaching it, they hear that, they shake their head, yep, that's right, yep, I agree with that, yep, that's right. And then they obey it, according to James. They're not just hearers, but they're doers. But a born-again believer is not doing it out of logos instruction alone. There is a rhema voice that is causing him to do it. There is something down on the inside that's leading you and guiding you, and you are unconsciously doing the Word of God. Words without even being conscious of do's and don'ts at every turn. You do something that's not pleasing to God, he doesn't come and quote scripture to you, but something moves on your heart and you know you've done wrong. You know what's pleasing to him. You know what isn't pleasing to him. You don't have to have a guidebook. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Peter says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Notice this, by the logos of God, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word, now we get to it, but the rhema of the Lord endureth forever. The rhema of the Lord endureth forever, because it has life. The rhema of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word rhema. This is the rhema by which the gospel is preached unto you. Notice he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And Brother Branham said, that doesn't mean teach. Teaching is logos. You can teach anyone.
You can quote with no anointing the Bible and your teaching, but that's not Rhema. The gospel is not in logos only, but it is made alive by Rhema. So when you preach the gospel, actually what's going forth is the same written word, but it's now it's quickened as it's coming out the minister's mouth. It's alive. There is life in it. And something down on the inside of you receives that and said, yep, that's right. Something down on the inside of you is able to hear that Rhema as it's coming forth, or Rhema as it's coming forth. And a person that's saved but not born again is not hearing the same thing you're hearing. Yet they're hearing the same words. John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands we have handled, of the word logos of life. Now, I want to make this distinction as we're reading that scripture. You cannot see or handle Rhema, but you can see and handle logos. You cannot see or handle Rhema. It's invisible. And only those that have a receiver can receive it. Only those that can hear from God, that can hear the voice of God, hear the Rhema of God. If we speak logos alone, we're just repeating words. But if the logos is coming forth from the lips of an anointed ministering spirit or ministering gift of God, then the words that are coming forth are both logos and life. It's not just letter anymore. The letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. And yet you can't see the life as it's coming forth. And to someone that's not born again, they can't tell the difference between someone that's preaching Rhema and someone who isn't. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. But whosoever keepeth his word, logos, in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. We are keeping that logos word in us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word logos preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So they received the logos, but it wasn't mixed with faith. There was no Rhema. The logos is the letter, and it killeth without the spirit. Now we witness the logos to our loved ones, to our family members, to our coworkers, and we'll share the logos of God. But if there's no faith in them, then when it's all said and done and you finished your susplaining, they look at you like, well, you know, big deal. Or you're crazy. Or, you know, if you say so. Well, that's just your word versus somebody else's word. If all they're receiving is the logos, then it just sounds like one person's opinion versus another person's opinion. No faith mixed with the seed. Logos is a seed. And logos is potential life. It's not life, it's potential life. It takes quickening power to make it life, for it to come forth. I want us to look here for a moment again at the angel coming to Mary as she's overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. Notice this. For with God nothing... And that word nothing actually here was mistranslated. It's Rhema. For with God, nothing, Rhema, shall be impossible. And if we look at the definitions of those words, nothing comes from the Greek word Rhema, which that which is or has been uttered by a living voice, a thing spoken, a word, any sound produced by the voice and having a definite meaning. So it's a living voice. And the word impossible is adunateo. I'm not a Greek. Not to have strength or power or ability to be weak. So God gives to this angel rhema to give to Mary. So another way to read this, if we just insert the true meaning of this, for with God, rhema shall not be weak. For with God, it is impossible when God speaks a rhema, when God speaks living word, for it not to take place. When God speaks rhema, it is impossible for it not to take place. Every rhema of God has absolute power to bring it to pass. As opposed to logos. Logos is waiting for the quickening. Amen? But rhema is quickened word. It's the voice of God. And that's how you hear the voice of God. And it won't contradict what He's already said in His word. Luke chapter 2 verse 17. Speaking of the birth of Christ. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying. That word saying is actually rhema. They made known abroad the rhema which was told them concerning this child. So they're hearing a living voice. And that living voice came through an angel. And what was told to them was not even in the Bible. There was prophecy in the Old Testament, but the prophecy didn't say what this is saying. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So the shepherds were actually, when they went and spoke abroad the sayings, when they made known abroad the sayings which was told them concerning the child, they were actually making known rhema. They were actually speaking the voice of God that was spoken through this angel to Mary. But Mary kept all these things. Once again, that word is rhema. Mary kept all these rhemas, living words, and pondered them in her heart. So Mary needed more than what was written in the Old Testament. And you and I need more than that too. She needed the rhema of God to make that Old Testament logos not general, but specific. It was not whosoever will or this or that. It was speaking directly to Mary, and it took the rhema of God to apply it to her life specifically. Otherwise, she could have just been reading the same scripture as anybody else, and you know, and now what? She's going to take credit for the revelation? Something, God had to speak to her personally, which requires, that's the rhema of God. Are you with me? So her ability to conceive the word was more than just receiving seed or logos alone. That certainly was necessary. She wouldn't have got any further if she couldn't receive the word or didn't receive the logos. But that seed had to be quickened. So it takes both. It takes the logos of God and it takes the quickening. It takes the power of God in order to make it live. Now, as we saw last time, we saw the parable of the sower and the parable of the seed, and we saw how there was nothing wrong with the seed, but yet the seed grew in one case and it didn't grow in another case. It's choked out here by the cares of life or by thorns and thistles or it has no root. And we look at that and you think, well, what's the difference? It's the same word. Well, how can the word be choked out? Rhema can't be choked out. Amen? Logos can be choked out. If you received the seed word without the right kind of a preparation and not mixed with faith, the logos of God can be choked out. But to receive the rhema of God, the only way you can receive the rhema of God is if your heart is right. If the preparation has already taken place and there's faith laying there to receive it. And it will produce. It has to. There's no way that it can't. There's no story about the elect of God that some of them had too much cares and some of them sprung up too quickly and some of them had no root or this or that. That's other people that are receiving the Logos of God. But to the bride, to the elect of God, it always produces. Because that seed of God will be quickened by the Holy Spirit in your life, and the Holy Spirit in you will witness to that, and it will produce. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So the conditions have to be right in order for it to come forth. And it's only right in the born-again believer's heart. So when God speaks a rhema, it's a seed and it's also dunamis. It's life and it's word. It's spirit and it's truth. So Mary had heard those words, the Logos words of the Old Testament, a virgin shall conceive, and so on and so forth. She'd heard these since her youth. She'd heard them all the way up to that point in her life. But then she says, as that angel speaking to her with a message from the Lord, she says, let it be. And her saying, let it be, is her recognizing that the rhema that she is hearing has in it life. She's realizing that she's hearing specifically from God, and God is specifically telling her, this is not some general thing, this is not roll the dice, this is not we'll try you out and see if you can accept this or not, and if you can't, we'll go to somebody else. This is coming to her because it's for her. And so it's speaking to her personally. Something down on the inside witnessed to that. Amen. It's not hope, it's a revelation. And there's faith, that faith coupled with that living word produces. There's no way that it couldn't bring forth. Are you listening to this? Praise the name of the Lord. So rhema about a virgin conceiving didn't come to anybody else but her. Because it won't return unto him void. So that's why church manuals can never work. That's why quote books can never work. Church manuals are, well, do this and don't do that. And church manuals are an attempt to take the word and try to apply it to this situation and try to apply it to that situation. Just spill it all out. So it's all do's and don'ts. That'll never work. It might produce a good, clean, moral group of people. But it won't produce a rapture. It won't produce a resurrection. Because there's no life in it. If there was tablets of stone, would have worked. Praise the Lord. So it might serve as a guide for clean living. But it won't raise your body. Rhema is Christ revealed. It is uttered by a living voice. It is the living word. It is the person of the word. I hope you're listening tonight. That separates it from being logos written on the page. And we love that and we appreciate that. And it's necessary and it encourages us. But when it becomes rhema to you, it's different. Luke chapter 2 verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying, the rhema, which was told them concerning the child. So there was no scripture in the Old Testament that said, unto you, this day is born unto you. There's no scripture for that. It was rhema. It was present tense. That's what was said. Here's what's happening. Present tense. The angel of the Lord brought rhema and they received it and then they broadcast what they had received and many of them stared at them and wondered at what it was that they were saying and received logos only. Or rejected it out of hand because they say, well, that doesn't match the logos of the Old Testament. But Mary kept all these rhemas in her heart, living word, and it did not return unto him void. It produced what it was sent to do. Luke chapter 3, verse 2. Ananias and Caiaphas, being the high priests, the word or rhema of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. So John received living word. So let's look at Jesus here after he receives the Holy Ghost. He's lived 30 years. He goes down to the water's edge. Now, friends, I know that you've probably heard stories of Jesus making wooden things and then them flying. There's no scripture for that. He hadn't received the Holy Ghost yet. Come on, church. Is that all right? Some of you are looking at one another. You're conferring with your spouses and whatever. Just give me one scripture. I'm okay with it. But the gospel according to Mary won't cut it for me. Or Philip or whatever. Whatever somebody's cooked up. He hadn't received the Holy Ghost. Now if your understanding of the Godhead is wrong, that will just choke you to death. But he had to receive the Holy Ghost. You say, no, he didn't. Then why did he? Why did the Holy Ghost descend upon him at the water's edge if it wasn't necessary? And why was he then tested and tried? And why did his ministry begin then? Just as it does for you and I. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Doesn't say logos. Now, friends, if these two words have the same meaning, then why isn't the Greek word the same? They don't have the same meaning. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema, living word, that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You see, logos by itself has no life. The letter killeth. So just receiving the letter is just receiving the letter. And it's good, but there's no life in it yet. It will lodge in your mind and your reasoning will be able to get a hold of it. And you'll be able to accept it. And actually the foolish virgin is judged according to what she does with what she receives intellectually without revelation. Why? Because she can't receive revelation. So God is giving the foolish virgin an opportunity. Just as he gave Cain. He said, Cain, just go do what your brother did by revelation. Won't there be a place for you? Well, praise the Lord. I realize this is a Wednesday night. Maybe you haven't heard these things before, but nevertheless, the rapture is a revelation. And we know that the rapture is by the word. But it can't be by the logos. Because if it's by the logos, then everybody that reads it's going in the rapture. Including the devil. If he goes, then this whole thing's just a big waste of time. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That which is or has been uttered by a living voice, things spoken, word, a series of words joined together into a sentence, a declaration of one's mind made in words. So it's personal, it's present tense, living word. So that's, we live by the living word and not by the letter. Because if just living by the letter is all that it takes, then they should have been okay in the Old Testament because they had the letter in tablet form. They had the law. But did it produce life? No. Did it change them? No. Did they overcome by it? No. But God honored them if they stayed behind it. So if living word is not required, we're going to be in real trouble. Because there aren't any scriptures about Facebook. There aren't any scriptures about pornography. I haven't found them in the Bible. Now, you can infer from different scriptures, but there's nothing specific. You see what I'm talking about? Or certain styles or certain attitudes. I mean, when it comes down to it, if you're going to have a manual, boy, it's going to have a lot of instructions in this hour. We're faced with so many choices. And what's right and what's wrong? And, you know, does it apply to this? And does it apply to that? That's why you need living word. Matthew 4, verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written in the Logos, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So notice this. Satan is coming to Jesus with Logos. And they're having a battle. Satan comes with Logos. Jesus said unto him, it is Logos again. It is written again. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. But what's different about this? How did he know what word to go to? How did he know which applied to this particular situation? It had to be living word. It had to be present tense. It had to be rhema. So Jesus takes Logos and it becomes rhema because it's the right portion at the right time. It's spiritual food in due season. Now it's always good to quote Logos to the devil when he comes and he tempts us. But the devil can go take you around and round and round and argue Logos left and right and take you to another part and condemn you and take you to another part and tie you up and take you to another part. And just go around and round and round. But rhema will stop him. And that's what he was facing here with Jesus. Notice he didn't have this temptation before the water's edge. But after the water's edge, now he's taken off to be tempted. But now it's living word, right at the right season, the right time, the right moment. It's the voice of God speaking through him. So Satan comes to him with mechanics and dynamics speaks back. Satan comes to him with letter and the letter killeth, and Jesus comes back with life, with words of life. The word of God is more powerful than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder the bone and the marrow. Just cuts right through, but it's living word. When the devil comes to you and quotes the word, which he does, quotes Logos, and you cry out to God, and you look to the Lord, and God speaks to you out of the word, and it becomes a revelation. Let me give you an example. When I was, the night I received the baptism, before I received it, I was down at an altar and Satan came to me and said, you did this and you did this and you did this. Right? And what he was saying was true. And he's taking the word, showing me my mistakes and my faults. But it broke on me. The scripture that I'd already heard, that I'd heard over and over and over, but now all of a sudden it's rhema. What broke on me is, yeah, but that's under the blood. It's been confessed. It's been forgiven. That became my word at that particular time. And Satan had to back off with that attack. So then he came back with, well, you're not worthy. And you can find scripture. You can find Logos that says you're not worthy. None's worthy. Jesus even said that. Call no man good. There's no man good but God. No one's worthy, right? But it broke on me again as God spoke to me. Rhema, you're right. What's your argument? I'm not counting on my worthiness. I'm counting on His. And He's made me worthy. Now, until that broke on me, I couldn't put that together. How could I be unworthy and worthy? How could no man be worthy and yet I'm worthy? It takes revelation. God has to speak to you and reveal that to you. It's not my worthiness, it's His. but I accept it. And since I've accepted it, he's made me worthy. And the devil had to back off. And yet that argument had worked on me my whole life. My entire Christian experience. Why? Because I was fighting logos with logos. But when Rhema comes, logos isn't enough. Well, hallelujah. So this is a battle between logos and Rhema. And which one prevails? Rhema. Hallelujah. Now, if Eve would have had Rhema when she faced the serpent, she would not have fallen. But all what she had was logos. So she did not know how to apply it. And when it was misquoted to her, she didn't recognize that it was even misquoted. Because she lacked the Rhema. Praise the Lord. And the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Once again, he's quoting logos. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. But he's taking that logos, and it's very specific. It's right now pertinent living word. It applies to that situation. Isn't that what we want, friends? Isn't that what we want when we pray, God, speak to me? Well, how's he going to do that? Through logos. But he's going to take that logos and quicken it, and it will be Rhema, and it'll be spiritual food in due season. It'll be what you need at that particular moment in time, even though you might have heard that logos all your life. Now all of a sudden it's something different. Praise the name of the Lord. It's quickened by Rhema. And it scorches the devil. So God will take logos that you've heard over and over and over and turn it into Rhema when you have need of it. Now I realize that, you know, this may sound like we're overcomplicating things. And so let's just simplify it again. But I'm trying to show you that it's in the Word. That there's logos and there's Rhema. And you're going to see it more and more here in just a minute. All we're saying simply is that letter without the life is the letter. That God has to quicken every word. And that's his pattern. He's done it all the way through. When he spoke and said, let there be light, there wasn't light. There was potential light until he brooded over it and separated and caused it for it to take place. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. God, the word went forth, a virgin shall conceive. Well, it didn't happen until the Spirit moved over it. Praise the Lord. Then the devil leaveth him. Why? He can't battle Rhema. He cannot come against the voice of God. And if you can receive it tonight, you are the voice of God in this generation. That's why you're an overcomer. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. That separates you from the nominal Christian. The nominal Christian has logos, but you have Rhema. So the devil loves to talk logos with you. And the devil loves to get on Facebook and cause sincere believers to think that, well, you know, if I just bring the right logos, then that'll settle this thing. It won't settle a thing. Well, if I bring Rhema, they can't receive it. The devil loves to talk logos to you, but when the living word speaks through you, he moves back. He has to. When the Lord heals you, you confess by his stripes you're healed. But why all of a sudden is it different? Because God speaks to you and says, that's for you right now. Right now, I've healed you. It's been laying there, dormant, but I just quickened it. It's been my word all along. I just quicken it in your life. And you hold on to it and you say, devil, you have to back up. Guess what? He does. We can become proud when using logos alone. In fact, I was raised Baptist, and the Baptists are some of the proudest of the religious Christians that there are. Because they claim, in fact, I couldn't help but notice that on Sunday morning. We're coming to church, we drive by a church that has their sign up, and it says, you know, Dr. So-and-so is preaching, and he's just bringing the, you know, uncompromising, pure word of God. Well, that's what everybody says. Right? But what they're bringing is logos with their interpretation. But God interprets His own word by bringing the dunamis or the power or the rhema of God. He doesn't need man to interpret it for Him. God interprets His own word. So we can become proud when using logos alone. But rhema is in His hands. You can't reveal something to you yourself. I hope that settles in tonight. You might say, well, I've been struggling to, you know, I want God to reveal this. He will in His own time. You can't, there's nothing you can do. You can't reveal a thing to yourself. It's not ours, it's His, and it comes from Him. Luke 5:5. And Simon answering unto him, Master, we've toiled all night. And we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy rhema, I will let down the net. At thy rhema. Why? He doesn't want him to quote scripture. At thy word. As you speak right now, living word. At thy rhema, I will let down the net. Speak to me, Lord. That's what you're saying. Lord, at your word. I don't know what to do, but at your word, speak to me, Lord. Reveal it to me. It'll be according to His word. So when we pray for faith, what we're really praying for is the is for the power or for the rhema. We're wanting the present tense I am to speak to His present tense. And friends, that's how we can make the statement that He's here. You see the difference? We've had the Word for 2,000 years. But we haven't had the living Word speaking the fullness of His Word until this age. The first age and the last age. John 5:46. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. They're claiming that, you know, Moses is their father and, They're fussing with Him and arguing with Him. He looks at Him and He says, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed Me, for he wrote logos of Me. Written word. But if you believe not His writings, logos or logoses, how shall you believe My rhemas, My words? He's saying the reason why you can't receive the living word that's coming right now is because you really didn't receive the logos word. Because the logos word spoke of the living word that would be standing before you right now. But you can't hear Me. Because you can't receive rhema. But they weren't even receiving the logos of God. Are you with me? He says, it is the Spirit, John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. See why we went that direction on Sunday morning? See why we said we're not preaching to your flesh? It doesn't do your flesh any good. It's not for your flesh. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words, rhemas, that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So He's saying, as I'm speaking to you right now, it's not logos alone. It's life and logos. It's quickened word. What I'm speaking to you is living word. What He's speaking to you is living word. That's why we can say that he's here. Because he's speaking living word to you. Hallelujah. From the same book. Now people quit church over this. People quit church because they're looking for something for the flesh. And Jesus said this isn't for the flesh. This is not a social club for the flesh. This is not a pet your flesh kind of a place. This is not a make you feel good kind of a place. It's not addressing your senses. It's not addressing your flesh. It's speaking to your soul. Because your soul is what's feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. It doesn't profit your flesh. My flesh hasn't changed at all. Well, it has. The wrong direction. Brother Eli, I've been in this since I was 38. And I've been running downhill, Sister Joy, ever since. I have less hair. It went dark for a while. Now it's turning light. My vision, I'm getting cataracts. You say, don't confess that. Why not? I am. Maybe something that I'll have to pray for God to take from me. But I'm not going to deny that I'm experiencing those symptoms. You can go ahead and deny it, just like people that deny that they're not diabetic and they die of sugar diabetes. Now, if the Lord spoke to me right now and said, that situation is dealt with, just speak it, then I'll speak it. But he hasn't done that yet. And I'm not nervous to say that. And I'm not an unbeliever because I'm not saying it. It just hasn't been quickened to me yet. But he provides all my needs. Amen. And my confidence is in him. These words of life, the opening of the word hasn't benefited my flesh at all. But it has benefited my soul immensely. Amen. It's birthed me. It's made me into a new creature on the inside. It's caused me to be sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that is taking preeminence over my flesh. And it's bringing my flesh into subjection, but my flesh has not changed. That's the body change we're looking for. That's why we need to quit listening to the flesh. We need to quit holding our pulse on the flesh. Do you feel good? Do you feel bad? Who cares? Whether you feel good or you feel bad, God's word's true. This thing is dying and it's going to die. But the word liveth and endureth forever. Glory to God. Rhema's contains spirit and life. And it's divinely given. We cannot manufacture this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, not of the logos, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The letter is necessary, but without the Spirit, there's no life. So, if we don't have the Spirit, and we try to keep the Logos alone, we'll grow weary. And that's why people do grow weary. That's why they say, this is so hard. That's why they say, nobody can live this. That's why they say, you know, this is just heaviness and it's bondage. That's why they say, must Jesus bear the cross alone? And, you know, being a Christian is just a bummer and it's just heavy, but I'll do it because that's what he wants me to do. That's not what it is to a born again believer. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, it's not you trying to do nothing. It's you being changed so that you're lining up with the Word. It's you being changed so that he's speaking to you and leading you and guiding you into all truth from the inside. It's him keeping you. It's him guiding you. It's him writing logos in rhema form, rhema word in your heart. He took away your stony heart, your dead heart, your law heart and gave you a heart of flesh, gave you a living heart, gave you one that he could write every little detail as he goes along. He doesn't reveal everything to us all at once, but he reveals it to you as you have need of it for whatever situation that you're in. Otherwise, oh, I'm in a new situation, Brother Joel. Where's that manual at? Is there something in here? What page is it? What chapter? What section? Aren't you glad you don't have to do that? You're carrying that manual around in you. It's called the Holy Spirit. It's called the author of the Word. So trying to keep the Logos alone is why some people get weary. It's a hardship for them to keep something that has no life. It's mechanical, and it's legalism to them. Listen to this. John chapter 1, verse 1. I don't know why I have 17 there. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. And the Logos became flesh. But then the Logos was quickened. Praise the Lord. You were Logos with God at one time, but you had to be quickened, didn't you? And the Word, Logos, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then the Logos receives life at the Jordan River. John chapter 6, verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the rhemas of eternal life. Oh. He didn't say logos. He said rhemas of eternal life. You've got the... If it was only a matter of the Word, they had the Word. He's the Logos. Think of it this way. The Old Testament, Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament. So they had the Word. But they didn't know what it meant. They had no life. He was the Old Testament made flesh. He was the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Amen. The covenant that we have, you can find it in the Old Testament. But what's missing is the understanding. But He was the fulfillment of that. So if all it took was Logos, then why is Peter saying, you alone have the Logos of life? They already had it. Moses had the Logos. Joseph had the Logos. Ezekiel did. Isaiah. But he didn't say Logos. He said Rhema. Thou hast the rhemas of eternal life. So Peter could separate this, even though he didn't have it yet. But he knew it wasn't just logos. There were two different words that were being used. John chapter 8, verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's logos. No, rhemas. Heareth God's rhemas. Living Word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. You listen to that and you think, man, he's being real rough on these guys. It's just the truth. And that's still true today, friends. Logos Word is visible. Logos Word is perceived by sight. Logos Word is perceived by understanding. Logos Word is explained. The Rhema Word is invisible. The Rhema Word is received by faith. The Rhema Word is a revelation. It's Jesus Christ making Himself real to you personally. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Other man says reveal. Webster says is to make known. To make known. And especially, Webster says, in divine truth. That's what revelation means. The revelation is Christ's way of making Himself known to His church. Now, friends, if all we need is the Logos. And let me now, well, forget the Old Testament. Now let's move into the New Testament. Do we have the New Testament? If all we need is the New Testament, then why does Christ have to reveal himself to us? Why do I have to have a relationship with him? Why do I pray to him? Why do I need to hear from God if we already heard from God? It's because hearing from God is not Logos. Hearing from God is Rhema. Here's one of my favorites of the evening. John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my Rhemas abide in you, then you shall ask what you will. And it shall be done unto you. Not Logos. We've tried that. Not Logos. Rhema. If my living word, if my voice abides in you, then ask what you will. Why? Because you're going to hear from him what to ask. As we went through last time, you're not going to be asking according to your own thinking. You're not going to go out in the woods and say, I'm going to go out and speak squirrels, just like Brother Branham did. He didn't go out there to speak squirrels. He didn't think about it. It wasn't human thinking or human reasoning. It was Rhema. It was the voice of God speaking to him and saying, now put these words on your lips. I am going to quicken these words as they come out of your mouth. Put these words on. I'll make sure it happens. Oh, hallelujah. How about Sister Hattie Wright? She said the right thing. Amen? The Spirit of God spoke to him and said, give her whatever she asked for. Right? So there was three things that were possibilities before. Your parents are old and afflicted. She could have spoke Rhema and her parents would have been restored. They could have had a body change. They could have been turned young again. She could have kept mom and pop around to babysit the kids or whatever. What a wonderful thing. God would have honored it. It would have been Rhema coming out of her mouth. Amen. Whatever she says. What should I ask? Well, how about, you know, look at your parents. They're elderly. You ask for a body change. Well, no, that doesn't. Nothing down here witnesses to that. Well, you know, you're poor. I just came over here to try to return to you the $200 offering that you turned in. And the Lord dealt with my heart and told me not to do it because you had to give, because tithing is what Christians do. You got a dirt floor, your husband's dead, you have hardly any money, ask for money. She could have asked. She could have been a millionaire. Do you ever think about that? Why stop there, Brother Henry? A billionaire. Ask. He didn't tell her specifically what to say. It was up to her. Okay, I'd like a... I don't even know what to imagine. It's different in everybody's mind. It's different. But she could have asked and it would have happened. But then it came down to door number three. And it struck her. The inspiration struck her. How about your boys? She said, I want my boys to give themselves over to the Lord. Amen. She asked for salvation, spoke salvation. Rhema went forth. Her boys are saved. I've heard testimonies since. Well, he ended up doing this wrong and this one ended up doing that wrong. Has nothing to do with salvation. And the word bride was never mentioned once. Salvation is of the Lord. But she spoke and it became Rhema. It wasn't just word, but it was life. And when God speaks, something's going to happen. Oh, hallelujah. Friends, this is our whole walk. This is the description of a born-again believer's walk. We're not walking by letter. We're walking by living inspiration, living word. It's the same letter, but it's revealed. Our whole walk is revelation. If you abide in me and my Rhemas abide in you, You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Friends, that's why Rhema is, that's why the distinction had to be there. Otherwise, we're making God a liar. Because how many of us have asked Logos? How many of us have spoken dead letter word? Good things, but with no faith, no inspiration, no power, and it didn't happen. Well, Jesus can't be a liar. But he didn't say that. He said, if my living word abides in you. The only way his living word could abide in you is if he's abiding in you. And if he's the one that's giving voice. So repeating the Logos is not enough to fulfill this scripture. And that's why all these silly people out there that have been going around supposedly speaking the word all this time, that's why it hasn't been happening. So Rhema has power. He that is of God heareth God's Rhema. And that's how the rapture is going to be. Brother Branham said the rapture is by the word. Well, we know it isn't by Logos. Because just about all of Christendom accepts that Logos. The devil included. We have the Logos of the rapture. We've been quoting it and quoting it and quoting it. We read it again tonight. But the Rhema is going to drop down one day. And we will all be changed in the same moment in time. Because the same Rhema you speak, the same Rhema is going to drop. And it's going to go from Logos to living word. You've accepted it. You believe it. You're not fussing with it or arguing with it, but your body isn't changed. That's because it isn't living word yet. But it will be. You know that has to be true, friends. Because you know the difference between believing that potentially you're healed and believing when God comes down into your heart, maybe you go up for prayer or maybe you're at home in a prayer closet or wherever it is, but all of a sudden that revelation strikes you. I just got healed. You know the difference. One of them is living word and the other is word. And we'll confess the word until it's living word. Do you see the difference? When that man, the black man that was blind that came forth and he wanted his eyesight restored, and Brother Branham said, do you believe? And he said, yes. And he said, well, go according to your faith and just go and confess. And he left the line, then he came back up and he said, I still can't see. I thought you told me, Brother Branham, that I was healed. He said, I thought you told me you believed. Right? So then he was told, well, just go ahead, just keep going on and confessing. Well, what we need to realize is that as he kept going forth and confessing, it wasn't Rhema. I hope somebody's getting it tonight. It wasn't Rhema. Because if it was, it would have manifested right there. It wasn't Rhema. It was Logos. But he confessed it and confessed it and confessed it until it dropped down into his heart. And the next time that he said it, it was Rhema. And it was different. It was a revelation to him. I am healed. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we have the Logos of the rapture. But the Rhema will drop down one day and we will all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And Brother Branham said that the rapture won't be hard for those that believe in miracles. But it will be for so many others. You see, being raised as a Baptist, I can use this as an example, and it's pertinent because we've got a lot of Baptists in the message that don't know that they're Baptists. The Baptists believe that the Logos of God is all there is to be had. They've got the written word. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. There's no need for anybody to interpret it. We don't need prophets anymore because the Bible's written. Right? And yet, they'll swallow any kind of garbage intellectual explanation, interpretation of the word. But they say, we've already got it. So Jesus is not going to speak to you, and he's not going to speak to you. We've got the word. There's nothing more. Therefore, we don't need the gifts. God doesn't do those things anymore. We got the word. There's nothing greater than the word. See how the devil has quoted scripture to them and got them all scrupled up? Because there's half-truths in all of that. The word is the greatest thing. We do have the word. We're not going to add to or take away from. But we're not talking about logos. We're talking about rhema. We're talking about Jesus Christ speaking to you personally from the logos. Making those words personal to you. Present tense. Right now. Otherwise, what does it mean to feed on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man? Isn't that what the Baptists are doing? Aren't they feeding on the same word you're feeding on? Potentially. What they're feeding on, though, is dead letter. But you're feeding on living word. See the difference? Then quit staring at me. So the Baptists will actually reject rhema as being of the devil. Yet they will receive interpretations of the logos by any man all day long. But to those that can hear God's voice, they will hear his voice and they'll follow no other. And when they first hear rhema, they know the first time where it came from. That's why the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the revelation of Jesus Christ, his voice, to you personally. You just heard from God. And now you're going to continue to hear from God. But that's the first time that you actually heard from him personally in your soul. And every time you hear after that, you'll recognize his voice because you've heard it. Well, explain that to me. I can't. It just has to happen to you. So when they hear rhema, they know the first time where it came from, and all other rhema will come from that same voice. Because there is no rhema outside of God. This gives us such assurance. Because the church can fall away. The minister can backslide. The people can fall away. But if God is speaking to you, he's going to keep you. He's going to lead you into all truth, guide you, comfort you. It's not to puff us up, but it's to settle us. It's to give us rest. It's how we're led by him. Every Christian is led by the Spirit. Not led by logos alone. Led by the Spirit. We talk about the book coming open. I'm pulling over here in just a minute. We talk about the book coming open. The open book. We talk about the opening of the seven seals. The seals being pulled off the book and the book coming open. When the book opens to you, it's a new book to you. And the reason why it's a new book to you is because it's no longer logos alone. Now the rhema is coming to you. It's no longer a letter, but there's spirit with the letter. But it's the same book. But it's the book made alive. Now think about it, friends. We were told, we were commanded to go to the angel of his own covenant, Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. go to him. Take the open book from his hand. And do what? Eat it. Why would he want me to eat paper?
Amen.
Haven't we already ate that book? If it's just logos, we already had it. But it wasn't just logos. Now it's living. I can't get life from a dead letter. I need something living in order for me to live. So it had to be living word. So what I'm taking from him is word that's made alive. I am eating of his flesh. I am feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. I'm feeding on Christ, the living word. And there's life in it. And since there's life in it, now that life can flow through me. And it can change me. And it can feed my soul. And it can feed that seed that's down on the inside and nurture it. And provide the atmosphere for it to grow. Amen. It must be alive. When you take that book and eat it, notice this, and prophesy again. You know what that is? That's just you in your day-to-day walk speaking as the Spirit gives utterance, as the Spirit reveals to you the word for you at that moment. Now you're prophesying again. It's more than just going around the world. That's all important. It's all needed to fulfill the Great Commission. But this is to all of us. It's not just the ministry that eats the book. It's the whole body. So what are you prophesying again? You're taking the logos now with Rhema and speaking it in due season. You say, and it happens. You say, what are you saying? What you ate, as it's quickened to you, as it's revealed to you. You see how simple it is, friends? Just laying right there, waiting for us to see it in due season. Waiting for us to come to a place, to reach a certain level of maturity where we're not looking for Cadillacs. And nothing wrong with a Cadillac, but that's not what we're looking for. Keep your Cadillac. Or whatever it is. I'll keep my Camaro. But that's not what we're after. Amen? What we want is words of life. Isn't that what Peter said? Where would we go? You alone have the words of life. We need living word. What came in our day? Living word. That's what the body needs in this hour. To come to maturity, to overcome in Satan's Eden. So that when Satan comes to us with logos, we come back to him with Rhema. He comes to you, Brother Joe, with "it is written." You come back and "it is also written." Where'd you get that? The Spirit brought it to me. Take no thought. He'll bring to you what you have need of in that moment in time. Now it helps to study the word. It helps to know the word so that he can quicken it when you have need of it and bring it to your remembrance. But he's the one. You see how it's all out of our hands? It's really surrendering. It's not us trying to do this, but it's us growing up into this so that he, the head, the mind, can speak. And when it comes out of your mouth, it's deity. So that when you, friends, there's only a certain group. I hope somebody gets this. I'm not trying to belabor, and I'm going to close here in just a moment, but it's coming. The only way the Great Commission can be fulfilled is by people that have Rhema. You alone have the words of life. Christ alone has the words of life. So how are they going to get the words of life? Christ has to give it to them. How is he going to do that? Through vessels that Rhema and Logos come through at the same time. That's why the Bible Society can say the same words that I'm saying and it won't produce anything. But when it's spoken under that anointing through a born again son or daughter of God, it produces life. Out of your mouth, you say, who do you want to make it? Come on, friends. Out of your lips, words of life, words of death. What's it going to be? Now, how could I have words of life? Because I ate the book. What book? The living word. The open book. The one that was closed to my understanding, but now it's being opened. And in due season, it's quickened to me. And when it comes out of my mouth, when I'm prophesying again, it's not logos, but it's rhema. And if I can come across the path of a predestinated seed, then when that rhema comes forth, it'll quicken them. It'll bring them to life. It'll make them an end-time message believer and not just a convert of somebody else's movement. And when it quickens them, they won't fall away. They won't. That's the problem. We had too many intellectuals that were feeding on logos of our message. And that's why we've been so hard about quote books. There's a brother that just put out a book. And it's on sale right now. Operators are standing by. Place your order. 20% off. And it's the revelation of the revelation of the seven seals. That isn't the word he uses, but it's the understanding or the teaching or something like that of the seven seals. Okay. So this message is what? It's a light. The book was dark. It wasn't that it was physically closed. It's that it was dark to our understanding. We couldn't see it. We could maybe read a little bit from the edges of the paper. But now all of a sudden, a light has come and has shone on it. Just as when John the Baptist came, Jesus said, he's a shining light. Right? That light shining on the word. Now you know what it is that you're reading. So why would I need another light to shine on the light that's shining on the word so that I could see it? Why do I need another book to tell me what the book says about the book? It's not even logical. It's a seminary approach. It's somebody's attempt to be relevant. It's somebody trying to be a teacher outside of the fivefold ministry. Because that's not how... We're not told to go ye into all the world and teach, but preach. So these things are supposed to be preached. And that's why we come to church. Because what you're hearing tonight is different than what you heard on Sunday. Because tonight is what you have need of. And it's quickened right now to anyone that can receive it. And something jumps in you and you're stimulated. And you say, yes, that's living word. It's not dead. It's alive. It's not grape juice. It's wine. It's moving me. Hallelujah. It's not just, oh, friends. You don't need seminary to come and explain it. In fact, Brother Branham said the third pull will not be explained. The third pull, part of the fulfillment of that under the seventh seal, is the opening of the word. It's also the coming of the Lord. Well, you can't have the opening of the word without the coming of the Lord. It's also the beginning of the ending of all things. The ushering in of the millennium. It'll unfold like a Roman candle, clear up until time is no more. That's the end of the seventh seal. But part of that third pull is the opening of the word. And it's not going to be a public show. Brother Branham explained the first seal, or explained the first pull. He explained the second pull. What did it produce? Impersonation. So if we try to explain the opening of the word and put it in a catalog, what are we going to produce? an impersonation. One that can't live the word. One that'll be made a laughing stock. One that'll fall away. One that'll be filled with doubts and questions and reasoning. I'm not interested in that. I want Christ. I want the Christ of this message. I don't want another religion. I don't want another doctrine. I don't want another idea. I don't want something else to rally around. Give me Jesus. I want the living word. I want the person of the Lord Jesus in my life. I want the author of the word to speak to me, to lead me, to guide me. I want him to confirm his word in my life. I want to ask what I will and it be performed according to the word. And you will only find that in the lives of those to whom the word has come open. Now, ask me why your pastor has to go to other parts of the world. Well, I don't think you should. Somebody has to. Well, we don't think it ought to be you. Okay, I'll buy you a ticket. You go. But there better be some results when you go. Because when it comes in contact with that seed, it will. It will quicken them. The Great Commission is not an intellectual fulfillment. The Great Commission is God sending his living word out. The Great Commission is Messiah. It's coming by the woman at the well and speaking to her the words of life. Telling her, if you knew who it was that was speaking to you, you'd ask of me. He said, that's blasphemy. It's nothing but the truth. It's Christ in you. The living water flowing out of you. It's the eunuch saying, if there's not somebody to speak to me, he didn't need words. He already had words. But he needed rhema. He needed a living vessel with living word to come and speak to him personally. The woman of the well said, we believe this and we believe that. And when the Messiah comes, he'll do this and that. But what she was missing was the living word. She needed the living word to come across her path. Not intellectual, not logos alone. She accepted that. But she needed the life. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Those that can hear the voice of God, they will hear his voice and they will follow no other. They cannot be deceived. Cannot. Why? Because they hear his voice. And it's not hard, it's not confusing. They know it's him. Those that are born of the Spirit of God are led by the Spirit of God. So when we take the open book and eat it, we are eating the rhema, body, word of the Son of Man. And it is living in us. And he will prophesy again. And that's why quote books will never work. You can't educate this. You can't seminaryize this. You say, Brother Baker, that just sounds so rough and sounds mean. It's thus saith the Lord. We're not going back to some kind of denominational approach where we get a bunch of ministers together and, well, what do you think this means? That's what they did at the Council of Nicaea, and look what it led to. Three gods. It's him speaking to you. And it can't be a public show because only you know what he's saying to you. And when you talk to others that are hearing that same voice, they'll know what you're talking about. You'll have some kind of a private handshake. You'll have some kind of a private language. You'll know that you're believing the same thing. Because you have the same one. Your spirit will bear witness with their spirit. And it'll produce what it was sent to produce. Let's stand. We have a lot of thinking sometimes that needs to be dislodged. We have a conception of God that needs to go from conception to revelation. And sometimes it's our preconceived ideas and notions that interfere with Him making Himself real to us. It's our unbelief. Amen? Listen, friends, I've said this over and over and over again, and it only makes sense to those that it makes sense to, I suppose, but I don't care what I gotta believe, as long as it's Him. And if it's Him, He'll prove it. He'll watch over it. He'll make it live. We're not attending a Bible school in this message. We are the school. He's schooling us, each and every one. Spiritual food in due season. Anybody can take the book and open it up, and anybody can read out of it. But only God can lead a gift that He's placed here to bring what's supposed to be brought, when it's supposed to be brought, and quicken it. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. If the musicians would come, we'll bow our heads. Father, we're just in awe, Lord. We see Your pattern as it continues to unfold to us, Lord, in ways and that maybe we hadn't seen it before, and just continuing to confirm the patterns that are laid out in Your Word. And Father, we knew that it was more than just having a letter. We've used terminology, rightfully so, for many, many years, that we must have the author as well as the letter. But then we begin to see, Lord, where You've actually discussed these things Yourselves and Yourself, and the distinction between logos and rhema, spirit and truth, letter and power. Lord, we're just in awe. We know that You watch over Your Word, and we know that heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle of rhema will pass. Lord, when You send Your Word and it's quickened, it will not return unto You void, but it'll accomplish what You sent it out to do. Lord, we can have that confidence here tonight. We can have the confidence, Lord, in knowing, as You said, ask what You will, and it shall be believing, and it shall be given unto You, but it's according to living Word and not just intellectual or Lord, we treasure the Logos Word. We have to have it. It's our basis. Without this written letter, we'd have no place to go. And we know that You even watch over your written letter, but Lord, it's like having a seed. If I had a bag of seeds, I could rejoice and I could have great confidence knowing that under the right conditions, if I plant that seed at the right depth and give it the right amount of moisture and allow the sun to come in contact with it, it will produce. It'll produce exactly what it is, and I don't have to worry about it or fret. It'll produce precisely what it is. But Lord, if it never comes in contact with the quickening power, then all I have is a bag of seeds. And as wonderful as it is to have that bag of seeds, I want more than potential promises. I want the inheritance. I want the fullness of what Your Word was sent to do. And Lord, if we're to become written epistles that are read of all men, then we have to be more than logos as well. We have to be quickened logos, living words of God in this hour. And that's the distinction, Lord, between a letter and living word. So, Lord, we're so thankful tonight that we can have this confidence in You, knowing that Your sheep knows your voice, and another they will not follow. You've provided, Lord, a way back for them. And when they're quickened, just as a baby calf recognizes its mother's voice when it's born, the mother recognizes the baby calf's voice. And they could be in a herd of hundreds, and yet that calf can find its mother and the mother can find the calf. Lord, in our new birth, as we become a new creature, we hear your voice. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ to us personally, the living, quickened word. And Lord, from that point on, you begin to lead and guide. Lord, it's not that you're speaking to us all the time, and it's not that you're speaking to us volumes and volumes. But when you do speak to us, we know it's you. And we have confidence, and we can take it to the bank. We can rest on it. Father, that's our desire for each and every one. That, Lord, that we just are looking to hear from you. No wonder we ought to pray more than... No wonder the prophet of God, when he was asked, how can I get closer? He said, read your Bible and pray. Feed on that logos. Absorb that logos. But then pray and ask God to quicken that logos and make it rhema. Speaking to us, spiritual food in due season. And Lord, we know it's not just a seed letter, but it's living. So when we feed on that living word, it's life. Lord, when we feed on, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. We have to eat something. Something has to die every day for us to live. We have to eat something that had life. We don't eat stones and sand and gravel. We eat something that had life. And it gives us, it sustains our life so much more so, spiritually speaking tonight. We have to feed on living word. And that living word is actually forming a body around us as we speak. Father, we pray that each and every one would have that confidence, Lord. Each and every one would be able to have that rest, that peace, knowing that you're leading, you're guiding. We can have confidence that when you place us under the gifts that you placed us under, that we're going to be matured and brought to perfection, brought to the fullness of the stature of Christ in our lives. We can have the assurance that in that right moment in time, the logos that's been in our hearts all this time and in our minds and our thinking concerning the rapture will become rhema. And all at once, we'll all be changed. But Lord, it's not something that we're going to study ourselves into or pull ourselves up to. It's something that you're going to quicken to us in due season. But one thing's for sure, if we're not laying in your word, it won't happen. And Lord, we don't say that as a scare tactic to cause others to be fearful and lay in the word out of fear. It's just a solemn reminder that, as your prophet said, a Christian reads their Bible and prays every day, and he said they have to. Father, if we become lax, and certainly as born-again believers, we're all prone to it, Lord. If we become lax in our personal walk, our personal relationship, if we've allowed the cares of life, the busyness of this life to cause us to kind of throttle back, Lord, I pray that we'd be encouraged here tonight to just press that much more, to realize, as your prophet said to us, you speaking to us, revelation means more to the true believer and it can't be underestimated. Father, that revelation only comes from you. And it's not us praying and you revealing to us the 70 weeks of Daniel. It's us reading your word and praying and you quickening the portion of the word that we have need of at that particular moment of time for our lives, what we have need of. Lord, you've given us ministering gifts to teach us and to exhort us and to feed us and to help us get set free. And all these different things, but Lord, that does not replace you speaking to us personally. In fact, if you aren't speaking to us personally, then we can't hear what's coming across the pulpit anyway. But it's the same one that's speaking to us on a daily basis that speaks to us through the ministering gifts, and we can have confidence in that. Bless each and every one, Lord. Father, as we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, and everything that's in between, we want to be led by you. We don't want to, Lord, we're not interested in man's thoughts. We're not interested in a Mars Hill where we all get together and discuss what do you think and what do you think and what do you think. We want living word. We want you to speak to us personally as it applies to our lives on a personal day-by-day basis. Grant it, O God. Father, it's so simple. It's God in simplicity. But be it so, Lord, according to your word. Grant it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'll say yes.